to 3 or to 4? Amen. All right. Well, let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We have been, this whole year so far, the last four Sundays, we have been talking about faith. I've been talking about, and really the Lord instructed me, you know, through praying and asking the Lord about this year, He instructed me to teach the basics of faith, to go back and just teach what Brother Hagin used to call it, the ABCs of faith. You know, because, and I agree, I heard Brother Hagin say this, and I even heard somebody else say it just the other day, a couple weeks ago. But I heard somebody said that, you know, that so many times when we teach faith, we just start talking about faith on the level that we're at. And they said for people that are not on the same level as you are, sometimes you lose them, and they don't understand just the basics of faith. What is faith? You know, if you have a wrong idea of what faith is, if you don't know what faith is, then how in the world are you ever going to know when it comes or how it comes or how to release it or anything like that? And, you know, and if you know what faith is, but you don't know how to get it, then that's another problem. That'll make you be frustrated, won't it? Or maybe you know how it is and how it comes or what it is and how it comes, but you don't know how to turn it loose. You don't know how to use your faith. Well, you see, I mean, those are just basic things on faith. And so many times we just assume as ministers and as you know, as pastors and ministers that, you know, everybody just totally understands that. But, you know, the Lord kind of was just showing me and teaching me that sometimes we need to go back and just teach the very fundamental things and just to go back and make sure we understand really what it is. Because how many of you know, and I would say probably all of us would probably raise our hand, but you know, wouldn't you like to be more effective in your faith? Wouldn't you like your faith to be more effective? You know, to see the results more that you're believing for. I mean, I think all of us would be that way. Well, sometimes, you know, if something's not working properly, sometimes you just need to go back to check the basics. You know, if your car won't crank, well, sometimes it's not that the motor's blown and just throw it away and get a new car. Sometimes it may just be that your battery's dead. Or there may be one wire that's disconnected, and you got to go back to the basics and find, you know, and trace back the basics just to make sure you got a full understanding and a full grip on that. So we've been looking at the basics of faith, and the last 4 weeks we've talked about what faith is, and we won't have time, of course, to go back and rehearse all that. But especially last week, all of our sermons are on the internet. You can get them on our website or get a CD back here, and I encourage you to do that if you hadn't been with us. But last week we talked about the difference between head faith and heart faith. And so many people are in head faith, just meaning that they have an understanding of it here, but they really don't have it in their heart. They know that they should use their faith. They know what faith really is and really what they're supposed to do with it, but they don't have it in their heart because they're not acting on it. And head faith will get you very little other than just being frustrated. Because you know it works, you know what God's Word says, you know that he's true and that His Word says all this, but you know, if you're not applying it, and if you're not doing what He says to do with your faith, then you're never going to see the results that He said you could have, and you'll end up being frustrated. And so many people are in head faith instead of heart faith, and that's, you know, that's why a lot of people are, why a lot of Christians are frustrated, because they've never allowed faith to drop from their head to their heart. The perfect example was Thomas. You remember Thomas, where, you know, when he said, the disciples came running to him and said, you know, Jesus is alive. And what did he say? I won't believe unless I see, you know, unless I can stick my finger in his hands and thrust my hand in his side. And then when the next time Jesus showed up to the disciples, Thomas was there. And the first thing Jesus did was went up to him and said, Thomas, you know, he said, here, put your finger in my nail print, thrust your hand in my side. And Thomas, of course, dropped to the ground and said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus made that incredible statement where he said, Thomas, you believe because you see. He said, but how much greater are those, how much more blessed are those that have never seen and still believe? And you see, faith is all about seeing the unseen. Amen. You know, if you have to see it before you can believe it, that's not faith. Anybody can do that. But, you know, we have to see it. The world says, I'll believe. The world will say this, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But faith says this, I'll see it when I believe it. Amen. is right opposite of the world. In other words, faith understands that I have to believe it before I'll ever see it. Where the world is in such they're so carnal, just meaning they're so stuck to their flesh that they have to say, well, I have to believe it before, I have to see it, touch it, and feel it. That's what Thomas did before I'll believe it. And, you know, so that's to be honest with you, that's where a lot of the church is today, is that they're stuck in the having to see it before they believe it. And, you know, and that's a bad place to be. So the last 4 weeks, we've got up to this point now. Today we're going to kind of shift gears. We're going from A to B, I guess, today. I think we've spent enough time on what faith is. We could talk about that for a whole year, that whole subject. But I'm going to trust that we've laid a good enough ground to where if you've listened to all four of those weeks, you understand what faith is. You understand, you know, just the basics of faith. Faith in its simplest form is just a belief, a firm persuasion, right? And that faith and hope are different. And we talked about all those the last couple of weeks. But today we're going to move on to talk about how faith comes. Because if we have an understanding of what faith is, but we don't know how it comes or how to get it, then we'll be frustrated as well. So just very simple. Now a lot of these scriptures you'll know. A lot of these scriptures you'll have read many times. But we're gonna go over this. And I promise you, if you'll pay attention and you'll listen, you'll learn something you didn't know today. Amen. Because God will reveal to you, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you maybe even an area where you've been missing it, and how you can strengthen your faith. Amen. Well, Hebrews 11:1. Let's read our. This is our foundational scripture we've been using. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Then, if you drop down to verse number 6, it says this. But without faith, it is impossible to please God or to please Him. And Him is referring to God. Think about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I think it's very important to find out what faith is and how to get it and how to release it. Amen? So it's very important. So if we understand what faith is, if faith is that firm persuasion, if it's that conviction, if it's a true understanding, then how does it come? How do we get faith? And, you know, the disciples actually asked Jesus one time. They asked Him, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And you know, Jesus didn't give them a 1-2-3 recipe to how to have more faith. You know what Jesus said? He said, "If you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed." The mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that you can get. If you hold it in your hand, I mean, sometimes, you know, it would even get lost in the palm of your hand. It's so small. So what Jesus said was this. Jesus was telling His disciples, listen, it's not that you have to have large faith to see things happen. You understand? So many times I hear people say, "Oh, if I only had the faith of so-and-so. If I only had Brother Hagin's faith. Or if I only had Kenneth Copeland's faith. Or if I only had, you know, this person or that person." But see, Jesus, if you had said that to Jesus, He would have looked at you and said, "No, it's not about that." You know, so we have to understand. Let's look at a couple scriptures this morning. Let's turn, the first one is Romans 10:17, and I mean, very familiar. Most of you could probably even quote this. Romans 10:17 just gives us the key about how faith comes. But even in this scripture, you know, even in this scripture, sometimes we miss what He's trying to say here. And man, we could read a lot here, but we're just going to pick out one verse, Romans 10:17. And it says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The Amplified says, "So faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah Himself." Now, just, you know, we've talked a little bit about this before, but just let me reiterate this. Notice that he said faith cometh. If faith comes, then that also means that faith can go. You know, just because you have faith today don't mean that you're going to have the same faith today that or tomorrow that you had today. Why? Because how did he say faith comes? Faith comes by hearing. This morning in Foundations, Jerry Savelle was talking about, we're doing a DVD series on faith in Foundations as well. But Jerry was talking about, you know, he used that scripture about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he asked the question. He said, well, you know, if you're saying the wrong thing, or you know, how do you change what is in the abundance of your heart. Well, the way that you change what's in your heart is by what you see and what you hear. And if you're looking at the wrong thing and hearing the wrong thing, then your faith is going to be in the wrong thing. Because here's a reality you have to understand. So much of the time when we talk about faith, we always attach it we always look at faith being just faith in God. I've got to strengthen my faith. I've got to have faith, more faith in God. But you understand this. If your faith in God is weak, or your faith in God is maybe you've lost faith in God. Maybe you didn't receive something you wanted, or you were believing for something and it didn't happen the way you thought it should, and you're mad at God, and you're frustrated with God, and all those things. Here's the reality that we have to understand. Everybody has faith. The question is, what do you have faith in? You see, because if your faith is not in God, then your faith is in something opposite of God. And when we get frustrated at God, and when we get upset with Him, and when we start doubting what God's Word says and what He's telling us, then we really, what we end up doing is we put more faith in the enemy than we do in God. Let me say that over here.
Amen.
Amen. That's how I didn't receive that too well. when we don't put our total faith in God, or when we start doubting what God's Word says, then we really, what we end up doing is putting our faith in the enemy. We start believing that because now, and we would never, probably none of us in this room would ever say that. None of us would say, well, I have more faith in the devil than I do God. No, that would probably never come out of any of our mouths. But if we say things like this, well, I know God's Word says that, but the doctors say this. What are you saying? You're saying you have more faith in what the doctor says than in what God's Word says. Your faith is in something else. And you see, we have to understand that if we want to walk in faith, I don't care how long you've walked in faith. Maybe you accepted Jesus during worship this morning. You're a one hour old Christian, or maybe you accepted Jesus 90 years ago. You're 90 years old in the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your faith. Has to be, if you're going to receive from God, your faith has to be in God and in His Word.
Amen.
And it can't be in anything else. If your faith is in anything else besides God or His Word, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
Amen.
And frustration. I don't know, I mean, I'm sure probably everybody in here has been frustrated at times with the Lord and had frustrated because things didn't happen the way you thought, or whatever the case may be. But, we've all dealt with that. And what we have to do, though, is this. We always have to go back to God's Word. I use this example by Smith Wigglesworth, where he said, he coined that, well, I don't know whether he was the first one to say it, but it's in a lot of his books, and a lot of people give him credit for saying it. But Smith always said this. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what God's Word says. And because if you're moved by what you see, or you're moved by what your body's feeling at this time, then what you're doing is you're putting more faith in the senses than you are in what God's Word says. Now, I know sometimes, listen, I understand, sometimes this rubs us raw sometimes, and we don't like that, because we think, well, yeah, but I know what I feel. I'm going to say it like it is. Well, then what you're saying is that your feelings are more important than what God's Word says. Faith comes by hearing, and then he doesn't stop there. If that's all he said, that would have been one thing. But he goes on to say this. We read it, but he goes on to say this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, he told us to have the right type of faith, to have biblical faith, the God kind of faith. He says what you need to be hearing is the Word of God. Now, that word hearing, I mean, you've probably heard umpteen sermons on this passage, but that word hearing in here is a continual hearing. It's not, faith comes by having heard. That's not what it says. says faith comes by hearing. In other words, by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And then when you've heard, hear some more. And when you get tired of hearing, then go back to hearing. You know, that's how faith's going to come. Listen, when your body is giving you symptoms, and when your body's doing something opposite of what God's Word says, you know, you have a choice. Am I going to go with what my body's feeling, or am I going to listen to the Word? And your body's going to be screaming, well, here's how I'm feeling. Here's what I'm going through. But God's Word says, come back and listen to what I'm saying. Come back and listen to what I'm saying. Now, turn to one more place. Let's turn to Ephesians 2:8, because I can hear the wheels turning and squeaking and grinding, and you know, well, yeah, but if I only had faith, I could do that. You know, if I only had enough faith to believe, I would do that. You know, but he tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you could go on in that scripture and see that he talks about that, you know, he talks about that people have to preach the Word, and people have to, you know, answer the call and all kinds of different things like that so that people hear the Word. But I want you to, let's look, we're talking about how faith comes, okay? I mean, how does faith come to us? How do we receive faith? And how do we know that we have faith? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Ephesians 2:8, he says this, Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. So even in salvation, if you're here today and you're born again, you know, you've got a relationship with Jesus, you understand that you were saved through faith. By believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that's how we get, you know, what we call, quote unquote, saved. Or, you know, how we enter a relationship with Jesus is by believing what he said, by believing that Jesus came, that he died, and that he rose again. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, you know, the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. So here Paul tells us this. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. But now listen to this. And that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. So listen, your faith isn't even your own faith. God gives you faith so that you can believe Him. The faith that you have is a gift from God. So see, here's the awesome news about that. Now what are we doing? See, I'm trying to get you to understand how faith comes. Because if we had to work up our own faith, then we could say this, well, man, when I'm strong enough to work up my own faith, when I'm strong enough to do enough works, when I'm strong enough to pay enough money, when I'm strong enough to do this, then one day I might have faith. But Paul said this. He said, listen, it's by grace through faith that you're saved. And he said, and it's not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. So God gives you the faith so that you can believe Him, so that you can be saved. He doesn't leave anything up to you other than simply saying, Lord, I believe. I take the faith that you've given me, Lord, and I believe that you did all what your word says, and I believe that, and I'm going to confess that. I'm going to say that. And because of that, now I have a relationship with you. Now, isn't that something? How does faith come? Faith comes to you because God has given you faith. It's a gift of God. Amen. Now listen to this. Look at it from the Amplified in verse number 8 there. He says, For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, that you're delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through, and it's, now it says, it has in brackets, through your faith. But now listen, he goes on to say this. And this salvation is not of yourselves, he says, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. So listen, your faith, you don't get faith by striving. You get faith by receiving. You get faith, you build your faith simply by believing. The more you believe, the more faith you'll have. How many of you have ever sat down in a chair that maybe a leg broke or something and you fell out of the chair? Anybody ever done that? You know, sit down and the chair broke or something, you fell down? Well, What are you doing sitting down then? That you don't know that chair is going to hold you up. You know, there was one other time that chair dumped you out on the floor. But guess what? Through faith, through the next time you sat down, now you may have looked at it and you may have made sure that leg was solid, but you sat down probably the same day or the next day in another chair. Why? Because you believed that that chair would hold you up. And it wasn't anything that you did. It was the way that chair was built that held you up. And here, Paul is telling us that salvation, or that, you know, he's talking about salvation here, but I wanted you to pick out the fact that faith is a gift of God. It's not, we don't get faith by our own striving. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Amen. Now turn back over to Romans chapter 12 and look at this verse. And this goes hand in hand with this verse here to show us that faith, we don't create our own faith. Romans 12, you know verses 1 and 2 very well, but we're just going to read verse 3 for the sake of time this morning. Verse 3 says this, Romans 12, 3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you." Now who did he say this was to? To every man. He didn't say the special ones, or he didn't say just the people in the ministry, or he didn't say just to Brother Hagin or just to Brother Copeland, but Paul said to every man. Every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, now listen to this, according as God hath, past tense, right? Hath is past tense. So God, this is something that God has already done. He's not doing this. He's already done this. According, he said, don't think of yourself more highly than you should, but soberly, think soberly or clear-minded, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The Amplified says it this way in that last section. It says, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith appropriated by God to him. But the King James says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Here's what you need to understand about how faith comes. The first thing you need to understand about how faith comes is this. Faith comes by hearing, but you've got to understand that when faith comes, it comes because God has given you that faith. He's dealt that measure of faith to you. Amen? And we can see that it's not of your own works, it's not of your own striving, but it's a gift of God. And see, so that takes away the enemy's tool or the enemy's weapon of telling you that you're not strong enough to have faith. Amen. And because what he's saying is this, that God has dealt to you, God has given to you all the faith that you will need. Now, you can grow your faith, and we're going to talk about that, how to grow your faith and how to get stronger in faith. It's just like, it's no different than in the natural. Every one of us, you know, that was born, that our bodies were born complete, we all have the same muscles. Now, some of us are stronger than others, but it's not just because God wanted them to be stronger and wanted you to be weaker. Why is that? Why are some people stronger than others? Because they exercised their muscles. Well, as you exercise your faith, you become stronger in faith. And you know, we know this, if you stay in bed all day, every day, and don't get up and don't move and don't walk and don't, you know, pick things up, it won't be long before you won't be able to walk. Amen. Or you won't be able to pick anything up. Why? Because if you don't use your muscles, that muscle tissue deteriorates. Well, if you never use your faith, then guess what? When it comes time to use your faith, it's going to be hard for you to do that because you've never done it. You know, Brother Hagin always, one of the first things I heard that I remember Brother Hagin saying, one of the first times I heard him teaching, he was teaching on healing, and he said this, he said, the next time you get a headache, or or you stump your toe, or you jam your knuckle or something, he said, don't run to the medicine cabinet and take a Tylenol. He said, believe God. And then he went on to say this. He said, because if you can't believe God for a headache, then how in the world are you going to believe God to be healed by cancer, healed of cancer? And, you know, talking about even Brother Hagin used this example too. He said, and I use Brother Hagin a lot when I teach on faith just because I learned faith from him. You know, I mean, he was a great teacher of faith. But he said, you know, so many people talking about finances. You know, we talk about healing a lot, but listen, you can have faith for finances too. And he said so many people want to drive a Corvette, but they have Pinto faith. Everybody, you remember the Ford Pintos? He said, everybody wants to drive a Corvette, but they got Pinto faith. In other words, they ain't never believed God for anything, but yet they want the luxury item. And guess what? You ain't gonna drive a Corvette on Pinto faith. You know, you gotta build up. Now, yes, I understand God's grace and God, I mean, man, He can bless us and He wants to bless us richly. You understand? I'm not turning faith into works. What I'm saying is this. Because faith is not about works, and faith is not about you striving to do that. I want you to understand that. Faith is about us believing God. Yeah. And the more you believe God, the easier it is for you to believe God for a dollar, the easier it'll be for you to believe God for $10, for $100, for $1 million. Yeah. But if you've never believed Him for a dollar, it's going to be hard for you to believe Him for $1 million. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we have to understand that. Now, think about this. Let's think about just for a moment about why we believe what we believe. Why do we talk? You know, you say, Pastor, you talk about healing all the time. You talk about finances. You talk about all of these things. Why do we believe that? Well, see, if faith comes by hearing, then we have to hear the right things in order to believe the right things. All right. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians for a moment. I want to show you. We're going to start on this. I don't know that we'll get through this today. But I want to start talking to you about as how faith comes. How does faith come for healing? How does faith come for finances? How does faith come by those things? And one of the first ways that it comes, and one of the first things that you have to hear and understand is this. We have to understand that we're not under the curse of the law anymore. That we've been redeemed from the curse. Yeah. Amen. That we've been redeemed from the curse. Because if you don't understand that you've been redeemed from the curse, then you're going to live under the curse.
That's right.
And you might say, well, Pastor, I've heard that my whole life. I've heard that, you know, that I'll never have anything, and that if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Well, you know, to change what's in your heart, you have to change what you're hearing.
That's right.
And you have to change what you're seeing. And you have to change, sometimes you have to change the people you're hanging around and the environments you're hanging around. Here in Ephesians, or in Galatians, I said Ephesians. Let's turn to Galatians. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Galatians, back one book there. Galatians chapter 3. Because one of the things, and see, and here's another area of talking about faith and works. One thing that the enemy loves to do, and he's so successful in doing this to so many people, is that he does turn faith into works. He gets you to start trying to work for the benefits of God, to work for the blessings of God, to work for what the promises that God has given us. But we have to understand this. Faith really has nothing to do with us and everything to do with what God has done. Faith is our, simply put, faith is just believing that what God has already done for us. Faith is not performing, but faith is believing. Amen. And it is important what you believe. Here in Galatians chapter 3, and we'll just pick up in verse 10, he says this. He says, "For as many as are of the works of the law, they are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So if you tell me, well, I believe that I got to keep, you know, that I've got to keep all the law, all the commandments, all the, you know, I believe that we have to keep all of those. Well, then what he's saying here is this. He says that if you believe that you have to work to get God to accept you, then you got to keep all the law. But here's the reality. Did you understand? Why did God give the law in the first place? He gave it so that we could see that we couldn't keep it. Really, he gave the law so that it would crush us. So that it would show us our need of a Savior. And then when Jesus came, he said that he fulfilled the law and that we're no longer, and this verse here goes on to tell us, Paul goes on to tell us, that we're no longer under the curse of the law. Let's read a couple more verses here and we'll talk about this. It says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law, I read verse 9, I'm sorry, we read verse 10, go to verse 11. He says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So you see, he's contrasting works and faith here. He says, if you want to be justified in the sight of God, you don't get justified in the sight of God by doing works. How do you get justified in the sight of God? You believe that Jesus took care of all that for you. We're justified, we're made righteous, we're cleansed by our belief, not by our works. Amen. Go on to verse 12. And he says, and the law is not of faith. So he tells us point blank, the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, if you're going to try to keep the law, then you got to live under the law. But he said, you know what? That's not faith. Verse 13. Thank God. Verse 13. He goes on to say this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now let's stop right there and think about that for a minute. What does the word redeem mean? What is redemption? What does the word redeem mean? The word redeem means this, to be bought back, to be paid for with a price. When I went to Brazil on a mission trip when I was just out of high school, I told the story one time, and man, my interpreter just fell in love with this story. And every time I would minister, she would say, tell the boat story, tell the boat story. You know, she'd always want me to tell that story, and I've told it many times here, but I'll share it again. But there was this little boy that loved working with wood, and he took a piece of wood and carved out a boat, a sailboat, spent many, many hours on it and made this beautiful boat, and he put it in the river, and he would play with it down by the river. He lived next to the river, and he would play with that boat, and he had a string attached to it, and he would, you know, let it go way out there, and he'd bring it back and all this stuff. Well, one night he left it tied up on the side of the river, and a storm came up. It rained real hard, and the waters rose, and that boat, the string broke. And when he got up the next morning, he went out to get his boat, and it was gone. He was heartbroken, you know. Well, sometime later, he was walking through the streets of his little town he lived in, and lo and behold, there was his boat sitting in the window of this thrift store. So he goes running in, he busts into this thrift store, you know, opens the door and tells the guy in the guy that's running, he says, I want my boat. Give me my boat. That's my boat. And the guy said, whoa, wait a minute. He said, you know, there's a price tag on that boat. And if you want that boat, you got to pay this much money for it. And he said, but that's my boat. I made that boat. That's mine. And he said, well, no. He said, that's my boat now. He says, if you want it, you'll have to pay for it. There's a price to be paid. So that little boy, you know, he was heartbroken again, but he went home and told his parents, and his parents told him and said, well, said, you'll just have to do some errands and work some extra, you know, time and do different things. And sure enough, he worked hard and got the money, you know, and did all this. Went back to the store owner, plopped the money down, you know, and he counted it. Sure enough, it was enough. So he took that boat out of the window and gave it to that little boy. So the little boy's on his way home and he's hugging that boat and he's just got it wrapped tight in his arms. And he says this, he says, little boat, he said, I love you with all my heart. And he says, I love you so much. And he said, I want you to know, he says, you're twice mine. He said, I made you and I've paid for you. And he said, you're twice mine. And you see, that's a perfect picture of what God did. God made us, but not only did he make us, but he paid the price for our redemption. And that was through the blood of Jesus. So we have been redeemed. We've been bought back from the enemy. We've been bought back from a world of sin and slavery. And as a matter of fact, that word redeemed actually comes from the slave market. When in the biblical times, when they would go to the slave markets and buy slaves, when they paid the price for those slaves, they would call it, you know, redeeming that slave. They would redeem them for a price. And that's exactly what God did to us. He redeemed us. He paid the price for us. What was that price? That price was the blood of a sinless lamb. And that was what Jesus did. Jesus came and died for us, and he was sinless, and he died for us so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be bought back. What are we redeemed from? He tells us right here in verse 13, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Now we could, if you take the time, you go back to Deuteronomy 28, and you could read in Deuteronomy 28 all of the curses and all of the blessings. And all of the curses, three main areas of under the curse that most things fall into. One is sin. One is sickness. The second one is sickness. And the third one is poverty. If you go back and study all of the curses that's in Deuteronomy 28, which it says, you know, in Deuteronomy it just said that, you know, if you don't keep the word of the law and you don't do what God says to do, he said all these curses will come upon you. That had to do with sin, sickness, and poverty. But then he says this, Paul told us here, he says that what Christ did for us was that he redeemed us, he bought us back from the curse of the law. We are no longer under the curse. Amen. So what that means is this, you and I have been bought back from sin. Yeah. We've been bought back from sickness. We've been bought back from poverty. Amen. And we have to hear that and hear that and hear that. How many of you know that probably there's people in this room, all of us have dealt with it at times, but there's probably people in here that are dealing with all three of those areas. Amen. Yeah. Sin, sickness, and poverty. Yeah. But the reality is this, you are an overcomer. You have already been redeemed from all three of those. Yeah. Because of the price that Jesus paid. Well, what do I have to do to get rid of all this stuff? You have to believe. You have to believe what God's Word says. And here he says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And then in verse 14 he goes on to say this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you see, everything keeps going back to faith here. Now man, I probably should teach this. I mean, go in depth in this. Listen, we can say this. We have no more curse in our life because I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know, I've got a sticker in my Bible here in Deuteronomy 28, and a lot of times I'll just go back to it. It's a little sticky note right here, and it says this. According to Deuteronomy 28, and I've got a blank, and it says this. According to Deuteronomy 28, blank is a curse of the law. So if I'm dealing with something or have an issue with something that I find in that curse, I can put it there. Sickness is a curse of the law. Poverty is a curse of the law. Dealing with sin is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, I have been redeemed from the curse, so I do not have to have blank in my life. Amen. So if it's sickness, you know, according to Deuteronomy 28, sickness is under the curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, so sickness no longer has effect on me. Amen. Well, Pastor, well, you know, how come we're all sick? Well, because you hadn't got your mind renewed to it yet. Amen. See, you're putting more faith in sickness than you are in healing, in the price that Jesus paid. Amen. Amen. You know, here's something I want you to try this week. Here's something I want you to try. Everybody's always so paranoid about everything. You know, like just saying things like, you know, everybody's out to get me. You know, even I said this earlier, if I didn't have no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Well, why don't we turn that around and turn it around and have reverse paranoia? And when you turn it around and say this, man, everybody's out to bless me. Amen. You walk out your door, in the morning and say, man, people are finding me to bless me. You walk in the store and just look for people to start blessing you. Where are you? I know people are here to bless me. Where are you? Instead of saying you got bad luck, why don't you start saying, you know what? I don't need luck. I've got the favor of God. Amen. The favor of God goes before me. It's like a shield that surrounds me. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. Everything my hands touch prospers. You see, if we start saying the same thing, agreeing to the things that God says, then guess what? Then we'll start seeing those things. Amen. A lot more than under the what everybody else says. You know, 1 Peter 1:18. Turn over there real quick, and this is talking about the price that was paid for us. Because you know, redemption wasn't free. You know that in that little story I told you, that little boy had to pay a price for his boat, didn't he? Yeah. Well, guess what? Jesus had to pay a price. God had to pay a price for us. What was that price? The price for redemption was the blood of His Son. That's not a cheap price. Matter of fact, the Bible says it was the most expensive thing that God could ever give. Because it was the blood of His own Son. Notice here in 1 Peter 1:18, He says this, "For as much as you know then, that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your own vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but," we could say it this way, "but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." A couple different translations say it this way. It says, "It cost God plenty to get you out of the dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb." The Amplified says it this way, "You must know, recognize that you were redeemed, you were ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold," but listen to this, "but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot." Amen. Man, we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? That's good news. Amen? So now listen, redemption really, it comes down to this. Redemption reveals how much we're loved. You know, when we think about receiving, how does faith come for healing? We're still talking about how faith comes. How does faith come by healing? When I realize how much God loves me, when I realize the price that He paid to redeem me, then it's not hard for me to understand that He wants my body healed. Amen. You know, the Scripture says that if He gave His only Son, what else is He going to withhold from us? You know, so when we understand the price that was paid for us in redemption, then it won't be hard for us to believe that God wants us healed, that God wants us whole, that God wants us to prosper, that God wants us to live free from sin. Because He paid the price for that. You know, and He's redeemed us. And we don't have to go around thinking, what have I got to do to get God to do something? Anybody ever had that thought? What have I got to do to get God to move? What have I got to do to get God to heal me? What have I got to do? The question is this, is not what what you have to do, it's what you need to believe. And you know, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm having a hard time with this. Well, then what you need to do is just hear the word. Get the word on the inside of you. Keep hearing the word until that word becomes so real in your life that it's not hard for you to believe that His Word is more real than what you're facing in your natural life. Amen. Well, I think I'm just going to stop right there for today. Here's what we want to do. I just want you to bow your heads just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. I just sensed in my spirit right then, just even as I said that, that God just that He's wanting some people just to receive this morning. Thank you, Father. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've been believing for 5 years. I've been believing for 10 years. I've been believing for all this time, you know, and I just hadn't seen the results. Well, listen, we read scripture after scripture today that just said simply that if you will believe, you can receive. It's impossible to please God without faith. So if faith pleases Him, if faith pleases God, then it pleases Him when you believe His Word. And I just want to encourage you this morning, right now, just as we get ready to pray, I just want to encourage you this morning just to not to think of how many times you've tried to believe God in the past, how many times you hadn't received, how many times, you know. I want you to turn that around, and I want you to think this morning. I want you to meditate on this thought that Jesus gave His blood. Jesus shed His blood for me on the cross. And because of that, I'm redeemed from the curse. And if I'm redeemed from the curse, then healing, whatever it is you need healing for, is yours. Whatever it is you need delivered from, you're free. Whatever it is that's had you in chains and in bondage, this morning you can walk out of here a free person. How? Simply by believing that Jesus paid the price that day on the cross. How do we get saved? How does faith for salvation comes? You heard somebody preach a message that simply said this, that God, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not doubt but have everlasting life. You heard that message and you believed that God, you know, just with down in the bottom of your heart, you just believed that God loved you so much to give His Son for you. And you accepted that and you said, Lord, I receive that right now. Now listen, I doubt if any of you got up from the altar or got up from prayer or as soon as you prayed that prayer, none of you got up and just said, oh, well, I still got a temptation. I must not have got saved. No, we simply accepted it by faith and received it. And we've believed, you know, we believe and we stand firm in the fact that we believe that we are in relationship with the Father. Well, it's the same way that salvation comes is the same way that healing comes. The way that we receive salvation is the same way we receive deliverance. It's simply believing what Jesus did on the cross for us, paid the price. What Paul said that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Whatever it is you're dealing with, see yourself see that under the curse, and then be able to say, I'm redeemed from that. I've been bought back from that, and that I am no longer subject to that because I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. So let's just pray right now. Let's